What's up, all you nerds and turds? It's me, it's Steve, it's him, it's Matt, and this is Indies Nuts Podcast, the 15th return of the season from yet another minor hiatus. But we're here, and we love you for joining us. I know we're inconsistent, but we're grown-ups, and Thursday nights are hard. But we love you, and we appreciate you so much for being here, and we have an awesome show with tons of indie games to tell you all about, and we can't wait to get started. So, but before we do, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. You know?
Yeah.
It's been a good time. New job's kicking. My sister's getting married next weekend.
Oh, my air conditioner is on.
Two of the three kids are in school. It's great. How about you, man?
What are you doing? Yeah, good. I got new sneakers today. Do you want to see them? They're great.
Oh, I do.
So, I don't know if you've heard of this place, and very few people shop there. It's called Nordstrom Rack.
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, they have clearance on a lot of name brand things. And I got these cool Nikes, but they're like a nice blue and white with a nice little light blue check.
I feel like you're gonna do, those would be good for super kicks.
Look, I mean, it's Nike Air. I don't know, wow. But I got them for like $60. Can't go wrong. Nikes for $60? Come on.
I didn't go to work today because I had a bunch of stuff that I needed to get done. And we had like a sit down with Grayson's teacher, but I missed today. Stretch, the robot that I work on at Boston Dynamics, has moved its 1,000,000th box. As a celebration, they gave us all custom sneakers, and I haven't picked mine up yet. But I'm pretty excited to see them. Also, this job gives me the most free shoes I've ever had in my life. I've gotten three. This will be my third pair this year.
Oh, the fourth, man.
Pair this year coming at Christmas.
That is awesome. Because I don't.
It's.
I want free so sneakers. Shoes. Tell it's them so you're. Tell shoes. Them you're in size 10.5 now. Thank you.
Listen, next time we get free sneakers, I'll get you a fucking pair, man. I can get you some sick work boots.
Hell yeah, dude! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Indies Nuts. How are you? If you want to support us, like our new Patreon supporter, not a producer, but supporter and a former producer who is back in town, back in our Discord. Welcome back, Caneless. Thank you so much. We're so happy to see you in the community again after a pretty long hiatus, you know, taking care of life. And we're just so happy that you're back. We've missed you. If you go to patreon.com/dualscreens, just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler, you too could support us and be awesome and get a shout out and all that fun stuff. So we would love you if you did that. Let's go into what's new on dualscreens.com. I'll tell you what's new. Sonny Rads has written a quasi-review. We say quasi because I don't believe we attached an actual score to it, but it started as a write-up that wound up becoming more review-like as Sonny was writing it. But we have Fae Farm, a charming multiplayer farming bliss, but a single-player miss. So you could go in there, find Sonny Rads' thoughts on Fae Farm. She's very opinionated on this game. She is big love for farming sims and cute games and town builders and stuff like that. So she does know what she's talking about. So go over there, give that article a clickety click, bo bickety bick, as the kids say. Every kid says that. Let's make that abundantly clear. And check that out. Also, if you go to our YouTube channel, the last four episodes of Dual Screens and Dragons that was recorded a year and 6 months ago. Hell yeah. I don't know what that is because it's blurred, but you're pointing to it. It's your arm.
My blur filter.
Yeah, it is just
part of my tattoo.
Just that part of your tattoo specifically. If you're not watching us,
it's the wall.
Yeah, if you're not watching us, we are on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. You can watch it live here, Indies Nuts, and of course later on video on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreenstv. But yes, the dual screens and dragons. That's what I was trying to say. I was finally able to recover the corrupt files from a broken external hard drive, and I did this accidentally. I was going to wipe the hard drive so that I can bring it to work because I wanted to have something that I could bring back and forth from work if I needed to, like, download a video file, like, on the fly, if, like, for editing, whatever. It's like, all right, I can download at work. You know, I don't have to bring a laptop, whatever. So I plugged it in, and all the shit opened. And, like, the last few files I worked on were all dual screens and Dragons. So, like, that was the first thing that came up in the date order of the files or whatever. So I decided, all right, let me see. Because if you try and open them or you try and convert those files, it would fail midway. Like, that's just what it would do. Mm-hmm. But that was also before I reinstalled Windows on this PC. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I digress. I defragmented the drive. Like, I did the thing where you, like, you know, it's like, oh, we're optimizing this drive now. So I did that, and it succeeded. So I was like, all right, cool. Then I moved the files over, and it didn't fail at moving the files over. So then I was like, ooh, maybe. So then I put them in the video converter, and I couldn't watch the files. They were failing to watch. Like, if you hit play in the preview window, it usually you could see what the video is. It'll play. And for two of them, it was only doing a black screen and audio. And the other two, it wouldn't play at all. So I was like, ah, fuck, this is a problem. So I converted them anyway, and it took forever. Like, it was, like, crawling up. And then it finished doing that, and I was like, okay, they're converted to MP4s. Let's see what happens. And I just dragged it into Adobe, and it fucking worked. And I was like, oh my God, I could edit these shows, and
we can finally get the finale out.
Yeah, we could finally do it.
Long-awaited 2 years later finale.
Yeah, and I was very excited about that. So that's up now on our YouTube, youtube.com/dualscreenstv. You could check out our full season, 26 or so, I think it's 26 episodes of Dual Screens and Dragons. Great time. And I'm currently in pre-production of Dual Screens and Dragons 2 with our Dungeon Master Erengard. It's going to be a completely, well, almost completely new cast of characters, unfortunately, because of scheduling, but it'll be fine. We'll get back to this core group of players, I'm sure, at some point, because it was a blast playing that game. All right, let's get into the indie game adventures. Why don't we start off here, Matt, with your first game on the list here, Punch Club 2. Tell us all about it.
Sure. So if you don't know what Punch Club is, Punch Club was a, like, boxing simulator that had some really, like, cool, wacky fights with, like, alligators and all the shit. And you play through the story as this boxer kind of coming up through the ranks. And eventually you end up in Russia and you fight a bear. That is, like, the ultimate thing. The second one picks up, and you are his son, and you at first are unknowingly in the future. So, like, sorry, you wake up, and it's like a normal room. You're, like, in the same exact house and everything as the first one. And, like, you turn and look, and your mother is, like, some weird amorphous insect sitting on the fucking couch.
Oh, that's good.
And so in your brain, you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then everything kind of fades and shows that you're in the future. The gameplay is pretty much the same as the first one. You train pretty hard. You can add different combos and, like, fighting styles to your fighter that you're training, and then you battle them against enemies. The humor in this game is fantastic. So one of the first things that happens is you go to, like, basically a quick stop, and you're talking to this guy, the owner of the store, and in the middle of talking, like, you're not even, you're there to buy food, like, you just need to eat. And a guy comes in, and the owner's like, hey, what's up, man? What's up, man? You here to rob me again? And the guy's like, yep. And then they just have, like, this really casual conversation about, like, this dude's robbing the store. And then, like, you're like, questioning whether you should stop it or not, because it's such, like, there's zero urgency from either party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, like, seems really normal. And then he's like, yeah, all right. Like, I mean, are you going to do anything? You're like, no. And then that's it. Like, he leaves, he robs the store, and then you get your fucking food. But yeah, it's a really, really fun game. The first one was one of my favorite. I don't really like management sims, but this has a lot of, like, different paths you can take for what style your fighter has, what you build up, like, how you build a stamina or strength or all this kind of stuff. And they did a lot to move it forward. It takes place, like, in the super future, and it is very fun. And if you liked the first one, definitely play this. If you haven't played the first one, I would suggest it.
Awesome. I am intrigued on the next one on your list, because this is a former guest of the Dual Screens podcast, a game we've spoken about, Andy and I have spoken about quite a bit over the last year or so. So I'm curious to know what your thoughts. And that, of course, is Axolotl.
Oh, I have thoughts. There is a foundation for a great game here. There's some really cool boss battles. The room design is pretty fun. You know, there's a lot of dodging and weaving. The issue here is that there are a lot of systems that all feel very grindy that don't work together. And on top of those systems is a very underwhelming roguelike.
Interesting. Okay.
So the meta progression is all really grindy. Like weapons are, and different items are tied to being able to buy them from vendors with diamonds, and you really don't get a whole lot of diamonds per run. So you're really not like unlocking a whole lot. So like you're going through with the same set of items many, many, many times. Like you'll get like four or five, maybe max out at like 20 diamonds per run. So far, that's where I've gotten. And like things can cost up to like 40 or 50 diamonds. You know what I mean? So like you're doing two runs to just unlock one item. The other side, and probably more disappointing than that, is there's this really cool, fun mechanic in the game where as you're going through your run, you might happen upon a new axolotl, and you can bring him back and like you raise him. Like it's a very small mini game where like he'll like need something, like you'll like change his diaper, and it's just like you drag the diaper onto him shitting rainbows, and you do this, and it leans towards telling you that like, oh, like, you know, you'll get like, I got one called poison. I was like, oh cool, like maybe like I'll raise this and it will have certain stats, but it doesn't. They're all bare, and you cook things to feed them to change them into a certain class and have like a certain basically like a power up that they can have. Unfortunately, none of them are particularly interesting or different, and there are classes you can pick with them too, like a subclass, like a weapon class, where like they'll be better with a certain type of weapon, but none of it ever feels different enough to matter. And the gun selection is kind of meh. Like it's kind of whatever. Like if you've played Enter the Gungeon, this is not even anywhere close, you know, and they're all pretty standard weapons. That said, the gameplay is great. It's like very frantic and fresh. If you like bullet hell roguelike shooters, it's pretty fun. I just think that they have a long way to go, and with the shoes they have to fill for this type of a roguelike, it seems like maybe he didn't do his homework, or that maybe there's something was lost in translation between what the idea was and what the final product was.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of systems being implemented that don't quite speak to each other just yet. But I think what it has going for it is it has a very clear aesthetic at this point, and the boss designs are really cool.
The art is cool.
The boss, like the moment-to-moment gameplay, as more and more features are added to the gameplay, I think it has a lot of room to grow. Yeah. I think that's really what it is. It's like it's not like your typical like cliche, oh, it has a good foundation, it's got good bones. It's not really like that. It's more like we are hopeful that this can continue to grow into its body.
I think what surprised me the most is that this was like their 1.0. Right. And it feels decidedly early access to me.
Sure.
Like the enemy selection outside of bosses is kind of slim. And like I said, there's just like a lot of systems that don't talk to each other in the proper way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It does have a great foundation. And I hope that I can see this being built upon and being built into a really great roguelike.
Right.
But I think that there's a lot of steps between that and what they have right now. There's going to like fundamental changes to the game need to happen for that to be the end goal.
Yeah. So a game that I've been playing a lot of, I keep getting updated versions of it because I'm friends with the developer for 20 years, is Super Anthony's Joltsy, which we do have an interview with Anthony up on Dual Screens Podcast, our YouTube channel, so you could check that interview out. But this is one of the coolest puzzle games. Like, I'm using Tetris. Like, I mean, it's a comp. It absolutely is a comp for this genre, but it's really cool because it first of all, it's addictive, and that's kind of important for the genre. But it has an interesting twist where instead it's not just the pieces falling, you know, top to bottom. They're you're looking at this top down, and each block has a value of one. All these squares have a value of one, and as you stack them on top of each other, they increase in value, and if you up to four. So as you get a four stack and you clear a four line, it gives you more points than if you just cleared a one line or a two line or whatever. So Anthony is in the middle of like ramping up. He's adding new features. Him and I are going back and forth, like, you know, what I think would be cool. He's still adding to it, but the Steam page is up now. If anybody wants to wishlist the game, since our interview, his wishlists just keep growing, which is awesome. He showed the game, at a, like a demo night somewhere in Boston or the Massachusetts area. I don't know exactly where. And everyone loved it. That got their hand. Like, everyone kept coming back to play his game and wishlisting it right there. It's like, if there's any game that I could tell you that you should wishlist, if you like these kinds of games that are just chill and can make you think a little bit and you just get that rush of score chasing, and like, it puts you in a zen-like state. And I know that if this game takes off, this is going to be a whole new world for Anthony. So I'm excited for it. Yeah, I am a personal friend of his, but if you listen to the interview, you will know that I have almost never liked anything he has made. It's, you know, it's just not for me. And then he showed me this, and I couldn't put it down. And the state he had me played in the first time was nothing compared to the version I'm playing most recently. Like, it's so much smoother. It has so much, just the UI is being constantly updated and tweaked. And he's got these awesome ideas for multiplayer. So I'm really hoping that he could get this out into the world so people could start knowing that he exists, because he could be one of those really, really good indie developers that makes some really awesome arcadey puzzle games that could stick around for a very long time. So,
Anthony, let me play this game.
Anthony, let him play the game.
Let me play the game. Love puzzle games. I love Tetris. I love these types of games. Ever since the interview, all I want to do is play it. I just want to fucking play the game because it looks fucking awesome. I feel like I'm never going to be
able to. He's in our Discord, and he has asked everyone in the Discord if they want to play test it. So
I said, yes, I want to play test it.
Okay.
Give me the fucking, I just want to play it, man. I'm so sorry. I think I just want to play it.
Anthony.
It just looks so good.
Anthony.
Hello.
You're a piece of shit, Anthony.
No.
Anthony's, like I said, good friend. Met him in college. We have been friends for a very long time. He also does not live far from Missed Enough, so you guys could...
True.
And you have met before, so there you go.
He's a good dude.
Good people. Nuts. Out of his mind. Go check out the interview. It's a great interview.
That's why he's good at making video games.
Video games are good for me. Tell me all about Relic Hunters Legends.
Relic Hunters Legends is super good.
How good is it?
I apparently put the wrong link in the wrong thing, because that's Lone Fungus.
Oh, yeah, it is. Look at that. What happened here? My bad, folks. I will fix that. I didn't even notice it because I'm an idiot and I wasn't paying attention.
Relic Hunter's Legend is a top-down action looter shooter that you can play with up to four friends.
Oh, yeah, this game's dope.
I've been waiting for this game for a long time. I think I played it first at like PAX 2015 or something like that.
Good Lord Almighty, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a really long time ago. And since then, they came out with like a free it was called Relic Hunters Remix, which was pretty fun, pretty bare bones. This, super good. The production quality for this game is through the roof. It has like a very Saturday morning cartoon style to it. The humor is awesome. The action is fantastic. The looter shooter element feels like almost like Borderlands, which makes sense because it's published by 2K, rather Gearbox. There are different classes. There's five different classes rather that you can pick. They each have three different skill trees that you can go down, as well as a bunch of other stuff like gear and stuff that you can look into. So it's like action RPG in that sense. A billion bajillion guns that all do different things. And just like, it looks like I haven't even played most of the planets that exist, but like there's all these different planets that you can go to do missions and all this kind of stuff. So it has like this weird, like Destiny Borderlands feel to it.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's set up better than Destiny. Like, I feel like I want to play it more than Destiny, which is weird because it's this tiny indie game. And yeah, it's just awesome. It has a whole lot of heart. And like I said, the production quality is so good. The voice acting is superb and it is friggin' hilarious. Steve, I think you would really like this game.
Hell yeah, I would.
Particularly.
Hell yeah, I would. I've definitely played this at some point in my life. I haven't played the early access of it, but I've definitely played demos of this before somewhere.
Yeah, it's so good. Definitely worth picking up for anybody. Also, great game to play with other people. The one thing that I'm not sure I'm super keen on is that the first mission I did outside of like the prologue or like tutorial part of the game, it like forced me to play with somebody else. So I'm not sure that you can play alone if you really wanted to. You might have to play with other people.
Interesting.
Which would bum me out a little bit because I don't like playing with randos that much. But the game itself is just awesome. It's a great like top-down action shooter
in early access right friggin now, people. So go and do the thing if you're not an idiot,
if you're not dumb,
if you're not a stupid moron.
Yeah,
go and play it,
stupid idiot.
Or you know, if you don't have the money, it's okay, we get it, it's all good, it's all good, man. You know what I mean?
It's not good. Go buy it.
You should buy it though. You have become re-obsessed with grapple dogs.
In the wishlist roundup, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did I skip any? No, we're good. We're good to go to the wishlist roundup, right? Oh, no, we do have Indie Steal of the Week. I forgot that.
Stop it. I played too much of this and realized that it was bad.
Oh, okay.
It's not good. They have a lot of work to do on that game.
A steal. So they're stealing your money.
Yeah, they're stealing your money. Okay.
The indie stealing your shit of the week.
I didn't have time to test. I didn't have time to replace it.
I understand.
Well, no, because like at first I was like, oh, this is cool. And there's like a lot of cool things they could do. And I threw it in here because I played like, I don't know, like 4 hours of it. And then like after like 10-ish hours of it, I was like, this is kind of boring and shallow, especially compared to like, I don't know, like it sucks because Soulstone Survivors are so good.
Yeah. About Pathfinder, Gallowspire Survivors, whatever. We've spoken about this game a few episodes ago. It's the Survivors in the Pathfinder universe.
Right. And so I was really excited for it for that exact reason. But there are games out there that are just way better than this.
Yeah.
Halls of Torment, like I said.
Soulstone,
20 Minutes to Dawn. Like, it's such a packed genre now that if you're going to release a game in the genre, you really need to knock it out of the park. And they
better be good, you shit. Not knock it out of the park, shit. All right.
They fucking struck out. Yeah, you fucking shit. But they have a long way to go.
They have a long way, and they have Pathfinder license, so...
Yeah, come on, do it. Do the right thing.
Do the thing. All right, tell me all about the Grapple Dogs.
This is a Grapple Dogs sequel. Grapple Dogs was on the show. It actually got me to buy it.
Love Grapple Dogs.
What a fantastic platformer. Like, probably one of my favorite platformers from the last couple of years. A lot of interesting, unique elements to it. And also, like, it sucks you into thinking it's going to be really easy and cool with its, like, grapple mechanic. And then by the end of the game, you're, like, fucking throwing things across the goddamn room. Not that I did that.
Nah.
Because you can't you can't beat a level or like one of the challenge levels. And this just looks like more of the same. It's a sequel. I believe it is co-op as well. And it just looks like it's going to be just as fantastic as the first one. This instantly got wishlists as soon as it came up on my Twitter.
Heck yeah. Got to get them keys, bro. Please. You got to get them keys, bro.
I don't know. You got to teach me. I got to get on some lists or something. I don't know.
No. Keys like Grapple Dog. You got to collect the keys.
Oh, yeah. You got to collect the keys and Grapple
Dog. You got to collect the keys, man.
But also, like, give me the keys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to play it.
Give him the damn keys, bro. A couple of kind of spoopy games came across my inbox. It is the season. October is around the corner. So we're going to go through a couple of them right now. I have four of them. Three of them, right? Yeah, three of them to go, and then a Halloween-themed one that I thought was really cute. So we're going to go through those real quick. We have Vlad Circus, Descend into Madness. This game looks creepy, but also... I just clicked the wrong thing, sorry. But also, it looks pretty cute, kind of, in a weird way. Unsettling, in an unsettling way. This is a... I'm going to read the little description here. Vlad Circus Descend into Madness puts your sanity to the test, challenging you to escape a labyrinth of nightmares and torment. Test your mind against the slow burn of puzzles, light survival mechanics. I like that. Light survival mechanics. Very good. And methodical action. Comes out on the 17th of October, so right in time for the spoopy season. And it's published by our friends Blowfish Studios. We are big fans of Blowfish and the work they do over there. But,
Looks good.
Yeah, it looks really cool. So I don't know if you're into psychological horror survivor type stuff with really good pixel art and pixel animations, and this guy looks like one of those old school clown paintings.
Yeah, hobo clown.
Yeah, the hobo clown, exactly. And my grandparents had a dozen of those fucking paintings. Like a dozen.
Wait, really?
Yes. And my brother kept one, and he put it like when you go to his basement to do laundry. It's just right there at the bottom of the stairs.
That is so creepy.
And when we were kids, my grandma put the saddest one, which I think is the same one my brother took, at the top of the stairs when you were going to the bedrooms. So like, or the bathroom. So like you'd look up the stairs and it'd be the fucking clown looking at you. And you're like, God damn it, grandma.
Gotta take a dump.
Sure it was my grandpa's... Somebody that was close to one of the two of them was really into this shit, and they took it when they passed on to the next life, kind of like my brother has. So,
oh my God.
Thanks a lot, Pete. You weirdo.
Terrible.
Although, I'll be honest, I kind of want one. Terrible. Spiritual successor to Dino Crisis came across my little inboxicle, and it's called Dino Break. So go figure. This is PS1 style with the shiny graphicals. It's Dino Crisis, man. Survival horror. It's here. It's back.
I like it.
Yeah, man. Listen, what's not to like? Dino Crisis was dope. You got the isometric tank controls back. And
God.
Yeah, man, it's here. It's here to stay. Like this is.
I like that they lean into it too. Like in the trailer, it's like lean into a whole new. Crisis.
Yeah, it's a crisis. Like dinosaurs. I mean, it has the level design looks way closer to like Resident Evil 2.
Yeah,
like shit on fire and buses and the outdoor and the courtyards. But listen, I'm here for it. I love these kinds of games. I've always loved these kinds of games. And if it's as cheesy as Dino Crisis / Resident Evil, like if they nail that part of this. I am so in, man. I am so in for this.
I'm already in.
It's from Drop Dead Studios, LLC.
Wolves?
I think LL Cool J should come out with a game studio called LL Cool J LLC.
It's a great idea.
Because it's LLC.
Yeah, LL Cool LLC.
J. LLCJ. You didn't have to explain. LLC.
You could have not... We could have just did that. You could have just done
that. I'm just trying to explain it.
I know.
The next spoopy game on the list is Hollow Cocoon. As I say, Hollow Cocoon. This Alo looks cocoon. Fucking spooky. Andy, big excited about this one, and I put it in this in the doc specifically for him. This
even trapped he decided in the, not to come.
Yes, trapped in a cocoon, the silkworm weaves her final dream. Holo Cocoon is a first-person horror adventure game set in 1980s Japan. Immerse yourself in meticulously recreated environments as you venture into the depths of unspeakable horrors that await you. It's from Nayuta that's Studios. It's coming out in December, so after the spooky season, but that's okay. Every season could be spooky season if you try hard enough. Or if you just are lazy.
So good.
It looks very scary. I'm scared of this game. Oh, this spooky animals. Okay. All right. Well, oh, that is creepy. Okay. Yeah. All right. If you're not watching the show, you didn't see that, but you should watch the show instead of just only listening to it. But yeah, it looks dope. It has Resident Evil vibes to it. The newer style for me, but it's more adventure. It's less action oriented, obviously. More spookiness happening, so check this one out. It's called Holo Cocoon, coming out later this year, December. There's no specific date, they just say December, so hopefully that is sooner rather than later. I like spooky stuff, man. I like it. I don't play it as much anymore, but I still appreciate it. And if you want to play dress up, Kaleidoscope Games, this came across my... It has a demo available, so maybe we'll play that for next week if I could finish Baldur's Gate 3 and stop being,
You won't
obsessed with it. But we got Play Pretend. This one looks really cute. It is... delve into the imaginations of your friends on the school playground in this super friendly roguelite. Collect cool ideas to upgrade your imaginary powers. Combine ideas to create wacky and powerful combos. Befriend your classmates, play as them or against them, and spend your days playing pretend. Like I said, it's coming from Kaleidoscope Games. There is a demo out right now. Looks like you kind of get these... You kind of create your own power-ups almost, like by combining different drawings and stickers and stuff. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. I like that.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks adorable. And I want to play the demo to see if they got something here. So I will report back on this next week for sure, because it looks really cute. And I love the PvP aspects of it. Looks like there's a little bit of that in here. Well, not... Actually, I don't even know if I guess I'll have to look, because they say play against your classmates. So I'm like, all right, does that mean like the CPU classmates or like can you play with friends? It looks like there's other indicators of players in here. So with arrows and whatnot. So we'll see. But it looks really cool. My idea. Pick an idea. Boogie ball or extroverted, and you get little power ups and stuff. So keep an eye on that. It's called Play Pretend. Keep an eye out on that. And let us know what you think. If you play the demo, write to us. Just go either, if you're in our Discord, just drop us a line in mailbag, or you can tweet at us at Dual Screens, or you could email us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. All that fun stuff. Just like our friend Buzz Killington has done, bringing a game to the table. Called Chipmunk, and it's exactly what you think it is. Dun, 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 dun. This came out in 2019. It is only $8.99 right now, but it is a side scroller beat 'em up starring chipmunks, and it reminds me a lot of Golden Axe.
It looks exactly like that. It is like the best way possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that the different chipmunk looking things are different classes of chipmunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the different skins.
Yeah, like the chipmunk warrior and the chipmunk wizard.
Give me chipmunk wizard.
So
chip wizard.
I'll tell Andy to buy it. And we'll all play so it. You can play it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, no, I lost Andy.
He revoked your access.
Yeah, I have no access to
it. Wow. You have fucked up so bad in your friendship. I don't know. Wow. I don't
know what happened, man.
Anyway, version 2.0 is here. That's what I guess we're celebrating. I don't know.
I think this is dropping on Game Pass as well.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Yeah. Dope. So there you go. You can play it for free on the Game Pass If you pay them for Game Pass. So does that mean it's for free? I don't know. Yeah. Buzz Killington seems to think so. Hello, we're back. Sorry about that. OBS crashed on us. We do apologize. It is not Chipmunk is not on Game Pass. Buzz Killington put it in there because 4 years after the game came out, he found it and he liked it. So he wanted to bring it to our attention, which is totally cool. And we encourage all of you to do that. If you want to highlight an indie game that you love that may not have gotten the love it deserves over the years and you want to just bring a spotlight to it, write in. Let's go. Share it. I would like.
That's what it's all about.
Are you a developer? Did you make a game years ago? And you're just like, dude, I would love for you to highlight my game. Send it our way. We'll check it out. If we like it, we'll put it on there. If we don't like it, we'll tear it to shreds. But you'll get on the show, you know. And isn't that what counts?
But you'll get airtime.
You'll get airtime.
All PR is good PR.
Yeah. Speaking of PR, our most recent episode of what?
I don't know.
Oh, our most recent. Episode of the Dual Screens podcast featured Super Dungeon Designer, which is in the middle of their, not in the middle, their very end of their Kickstarter. They have 60 hours to go and they are going to be our Kickstarter of the week. So you have just hours at this point to go and support them, just a couple of days here. So they are, their goal is $15,000. They're at $11,641 redos. This is an incredible, folks. It is a dope.
Looks so good.
Zelda Dungeon Maker. Like, I know games like this have come out, but like the stuff they're doing here, the ease, you can link items to items that you drop together so that you could create really intricate puzzles. The art is beautiful. The plans they have for the game, if they could get this funding, are really admirable. This game, we have backed it. Dual Screens has backed it. I've backed it. Andy has backed it. So we're definitely putting our might behind it, but if you need,
you gotta put me on the spot.
No, you're part of Dual Screens. The interview is up right now, so if you need any more convincing, just watch or listen to the interview. Dual Screens podcast again, just an awesome dude. I just can't wait. I can't wait for this thing because it's point and click. You can make a
drag
huge,
and drop dungeons.
Yeah, it's drag and drop dungeons, but you can, like, they have so many cool systems like signposts that have text on them so that you could link to items. So like you could have certain things happen in a room that triggers text, and you could make your own adventure RPG if you wanted to using that. And that's amazing. And the things people are making in the community have been incredible. I'm really looking forward to everything they do here for Super Dungeon Designer. Hold on a second. Dungeon Designer is on.
I was gonna say, pull
it. It is on. It is on Steam. So let me pull that up so you guys could see. Oh. Do I have to redo the thing? I don't have to redo the thing. You joik. Sorry, folks. Ba, 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 there it is. Okay. Here you go. Now you can see it with your own eyeballs.
You can customize your own fucking boss fight.
Yeah, man. Bosses? More like mosses. Am I right?
Whoa.
Yeah, so like bosses have you could have different things trigger for different phases. You could have the actual layout of the boss arena completely change. You could add, it's got so much, and the community has been creating a backlog of incredible levels for you to clear. Very Mario Maker in that way. You're going to be able to search by creator, you're going to be able to search by recent or old or most played, least played, like however you want to do it. And the crazy thing that I can't believe I didn't mention this, you could do 4-player co-op.
Like, hell yeah.
Split screen 4-player co-op. So it might not come out on the Series S, but definitely the Series X if they could get the funding. Because we know the Series S can't handle local split screen. as we've learned recently. So I'm just kidding. That was a joke that we did on the show. Listen to the interview. It's a lot of fun. We had a great time. I had a great time. Did you have a great time?
I did have a great time.
Good. Good.
Did you have a great time?
I did.
Cool.
I did.
Good.
That's going to do it for this show. We did it. We're here. And we got to the end. We only had one crash through the show. So that's good. OBS doing what OBS does, which is every 6 months have an update that breaks everything. So there you go.
You're going to the Hot Sauce Expo?
I might be going to that. Yes, I have to see if I need to get my blood work done that day or on Saturday. So, and it's in Brooklyn. So I even if maybe I could just go after, you know what I mean? Depends on what time the appointment is. Because I have to fast for the blood. Yes.
Oh. When do you want whenever some hot you say sauce? The word, well, yeah, sure. But okay. Also, when you talk to people about hot sauce,
yeah,
can you make sure you use the cadence hot sauce?
Hot sauce?
Yeah.
Like
hot sauce.
Let me see what kind of hot sauce you got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Not every hot time. Sauce. Hot sauce.
Not hot sauce.
Yeah.
Hot sauce?
The hot sauce. Hot, yeah, do you want me to question? Do you want it to be a question?
It can be a question.
Okay.
But really, just put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Oh. The hot sauce. Hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Wow. I love this festival for hot sauce. It's amazing.
It's so good.
No. I don't want to. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, be excellent to each other.